This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Sounds Choral, a program that explores the many aspects of choral music in ways designed not only to inform, but also to provide new food for thought and perhaps even enliven our journey together along the way. I'm your host, Deborah Simkin King, a conductor and artistic director based in Manhattan and northern New Jersey. Today, we will be talking with composer Bill Hygen, who lives and works in the greater Manhattan area. Bill and I first crossed paths shortly after he came to this country in 2012, I believe, but that is all part of the story he'll be sharing with us during our time together today. For now, welcome, Bill, to Sounds Choral.
Thank you so much for having me, Deborah. Thank you so much for everybody listening. So it's great to be here, and I can't wait to have this conversation with you.
Well, you know, I've actually been thinking a lot lately about such things as leadership and courage and the personal attributes that feed into them. And from the reading I've done and from my own experience with so many wonderful people, a significant key seems to lie in a willingness to be who we are, be vulnerable in ways with other people. And part of what got me thinking about all of this is an experience that you and I shared earlier this year when we recorded your beautiful and deeply personal choral set, Songs of Sorrow. Both the music in itself and all you shared with the singers and with myself as the conductor led me to reach out to you for some time that we might share with our wonderful Sounds Choral audience. Perhaps you would start us off by sharing some of not only that experience with us today, but start by telling us a little bit about how you came to the awareness that you needed to compose through music and how you came to this country where you are now a proud green card holder on your way to full citizenship, I believe, yes?
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. It was a long journey, but, you know, long story short, I was born and raised in Brazil, South America. I just love music. And this was really crystal clear since the beginning of my path, the beginning of my life. When I was a child, I didn't have access to music education, but I had the urge to write music. I remember as a child, like having some melodies crossing my head, crossing my thoughts, and trying to write them. But since I didn't have any tools to write music, so it was just drawings. Like I was drawing some lines on the paper, like, oh, no, this goes faster, this goes slower, and this goes higher, this goes lower, or whatever. And I was trying to memorize what I had in my head. Fast forward everything. During my teenage years, I had access to music education, because I was part of a church at the time. You know, I remember my grandma, like I was 14 years old and I touched the piano at a church. I just touched, like, you know, like little kids, like just touching instruments like randomly. And right. I just touched the piano because the piano was sitting there. I just did it. And my grandma told me, like, if you want to touch this piano again, you better have classes. And I said, I want to touch this piano again. So that's the way I'm going to have classes. She hired like a pianist that worked for the church at a time. And I started studying music, formally studying music. And since then, I couldn't stop. Fast forward more, many, many years. I was in Brazil in 2012. And I was pretty like frustrated with my career in Brazil because, you know, I always loved choral music. Like choral music is my true passion when it comes to making music, to hearing music, to listen to music and all of that. In Brazil, we don't have that much in our culture. Like it's not part of our culture in Brazil to have like a cappella groups at universities, things like that. Of course, we have some, but in comparison to the US, it's not as nearly as strong as we have here. So I was pretty frustrated and I was working as a vocal coach at the time. And I was like, you know, I don't want to be a vocal coach forever. As much as I love to teach, I don't want to do this with my life for the rest of my life. The idea of getting older and not having a really great experience with music in my life, it was a source of frustration for me. So I decided, you know what? Since I am not that old yet, by the time I did that, I was 31 years old. I decided, like, if I need to move, if I need to do something really drastic in my life, it has to be done now because I still am kind of youngish. So let's do this now. So I sold everything I had. I put all the money together in a bank and I moved to the US. And wow. I came here. I came here thinking, like, you know, if this goes really wrong, at least I tried. So when you were talking about courage and that kind of stuff earlier on our conversation, I remember that because, you know, I was ready to lose everything. I put myself in a situation that, you know what, this is it. It's going to work or it's not going to work. And my life will change from that. Then I shift my goal. I thought, you know, I'm going to pursue a choral music career here in the US. So I studied English. And after 4 months studying English, I was accepted at the master's program at Hunter College. And it wasn't focused on musical theater at all. It was just composition. Together with my private teacher, we decided I want to be a choral composer. I decided to start writing music primarily for choirs. The very first piece that I wrote here in the US was my Ave Verum Corpus, which you premiered here in the US.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was my very first piece. I wrote it like on the Upper East Side. I was living in a studio and, you know, I'm going to put together a setting and I chose the text. I love Latin language. So I chose the text in Latin and you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do something simple that I feel like it's beautiful, that will satisfy myself first. And then I wrote it. And I started to promote that song online. I just thought, like, let's see what happens. Let's see if someone else will find value in my music. Greatly enough, you found me. Fast forward until 2019. Now I have a career and I have friends and I have network. Everything started by that courage that you were talking about, the vulnerability that we're going to talk a little bit about as well. And of course, because I met you, like because our paths crossed. I'm really thankful to the universe or whatever for that happening in my life.
How about we let our audience hear your Ave Verum Corpus? And this is a very special recording of it that you want to share with us. And it's something that you do periodically. You sing all of the voice parts yourself. Is that right?
That's correct. But I do this not to show my skills, but I do this because sometimes I don't have money to put together a quartet and sing my song and have a professional recording. So that's just a matter of time and money. That's why. But, you know, I sang all four parts. This piece was published last year by Paraclete Press.
Terrific. Well, let's take a listen to your Ave Verum Corpus, all voice parts sung by the composer.
Oh,
We have just heard Ave Verum Corpus by composer Bill Hygen, all four parts sung by the composer himself. Bill, I am curious as to what motivates you to select text to set to music. You wrote a piece about the five stages of loss. Did that have to do with leaving your country, with leaving your family? You also wrote a setting of Psalm 23.
I like to write music that tells me something and that I know that people will relate to it. Like, I don't need to know anybody's story to know that every single person in this earth, in this planet, have dealt with some kind of loss. And I felt like, oh, you know, this is what a person experiencing those stages would feel, would think about, like when experiencing that. So that's why I came up with the text based on the five stages of loss and also the Psalm 23. I am not kind of a religious person. I cannot consider myself a religious person, but I am grateful for my experience within the religious group and churches and everything. And I really respect that. And I feel like the Psalm 23 is something that really talks to everybody because it's one of the most well-known Psalms in the Bible, and people really relate to it. What I try to accomplish is that connection with the listener.
That's very interesting. Both of those pieces, Psalm 23 really being a lot about comfort, that of course you have so pointed out, that can relate to everybody. Who doesn't need to be comforted? And the sense of loss, you know, isn't that, I mean, that's part of the human condition that we all go through that in a variety of ways, and certainly losing one to passage to the next world is not the only way to experience loss. And both of those from a similar period. Something else that I know about your writing that our audience may not yet know is that you do write on texts from pre-existing sources, but you also write some of your own texts. And I believe that's the case in your five stages of loss set.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, that's totally correct.
Yeah. Why don't we let our audience listen to both of these pieces back to back? First, the Psalm 23, which I believe was performed by the soloist at St. Michael Church, where you serve as a soloist still. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
And John Cantrell is the conductor of that choir overall and of the St. Michael soloist. You've sung there how long now, Bill?
So I've been singing there since 2014.
Wow. So you have
quite
a relationship there. All right, so let's listen to your Psalm 23, sung by the St. Michael soloist under the direction of John Cantrell, followed by your set that you call Depression, or From the Five Stages of Loss. And this is performed by the Metropolitan State University of Denver Women's Chamber Choir under the direction of Jay Doherty. Let's take a listen.
Peace.
What a joy to listen to Bill Huygens, Psalm 23, and Depression from the Five Stages of Loss, also by Bill Huygens. Bill is our guest today on Sounds Choral. We're talking with him about vulnerability and what it takes to be a composer, a leader, a courageous individual in this world today. I am Deborah Simkin King, your host on today's edition of Sounds Choral. Bill, let's go on from there. I know that you've written several other pieces on texts that are pre-existing. We talked just a moment ago about your choice of texts and how you write some and you find some. You have a setting of the wonderful words from the Song of Solomon, "Set me as a seal upon your heart." Let's take a listen to that piece, "Set Me as a Seal," written by Bill Huygens and premiered in France at Notre Dame de Paris by the St. Michael Choir soloist under the leadership of John Cantrell.
Set me as a seal upon your heart. Set me as a seal upon your heart. For love is a reason as
That was Set Me as a Seal by Bill Huygens, sung by the St. Michael soloist under the direction of John Cantrell. I am Deborah Simkin King, your host on today's edition of Sounds Choral, where today we are interviewing composer Bill Huygens. Bill, you had your own group for a while called Chameleonic, is that right?
No. There is a group in New York City called Chameleon, yes. Choral Chameleon.
Yes. Yeah.
And Chameleonic used to be a vocational part of that choir. So I used to sing for Choral Chameleon. I sang for them for 3 or 4 years. During one of the seasons, they invited me to work with Chameleonic as a conductor and to write a piece for them as well. The theme of the concert that year was about the winter. And the text would say something about the winter and how people feel in the winter. I came up with this text with a friend of mine, Greg Kafalas, and I put some music on this text. So that's the background story for that song.
Wonderful. Well, let's take a listen to Wintry and Wakeful, sung by Chameleonic and conducted by the composer, Bill Hygen.
Yes.
Thank you.
We have just heard Wintry and Wakeful, sung by Chameleonic, under the direction of composer Bill Hygen. I am Deborah Simkin King, your host on today's edition of Sounds Choral. Bill, you and I shared an experience earlier this year that is near and dear to my heart. That was the experience of being able to record all four songs in a set that you called Songs of Sorrow. And although it sounds like a fairly depressing topic, it could at the outset, it really is very uplifting. And as the singers and I worked with these texts and with your musical settings of them, we found elements of hope, elements of optimism, certainly in the context of struggles that you were going through. We rehearsed several hours on them before you and I agreed it would be a good time for you to talk to the singers about your own journey, because I wanted them to make their own individual ways into the text to find their own relationship to the material, and then I wanted them to hear from you. Can you tell us a little bit about this set and where it came from?
Sure. Each and every song of this set, it was written in different periods of my life. By 2018, I decided to take a look at everything that I've done as a composer, and I decided to group them together as a setting, and I called this setting Songs of Sorrow. And just giving you a little bit of background, in 2015, right after I came back from France, I was really concerned about my future, about my financial situation. I am not a rich person, so it's really hard to make a living in New York City. New York City is really expensive. And at that time, I was kind of unemployed, and I was just working with my music, and I couldn't make ends meet. And then what happened is that I came across a writer, American writer called Sarah Teasdale. I don't know if I am pronouncing her name right. Yeah, and she wrote the text for Refuge from Songs of Sorrow. And I felt like, oh, you know, this talks to my heart because it talks about singing. It talks about hope when you're feeling depressed and whatever you're feeling down and you are able to sing. That text related to me what I was feeling at the time because, you know, since I still have singing, I still have a voice, I am able to sing. I am able to work with choral music, which is my passion. That's the thing that kept me going. Everything that I write, I try to apply for competitions and I try to show people what I'm working on because, you know, I am writing for me, but I am writing to share with the world as well. And I feel like people can benefit from it because, you know, when you bring art to the world, you're doing good, even if people don't like your art, but somebody will. And I always believed that. I applied for many composition contests and everything. And by the beginning of 2015, I got an email on my cell phone. It was like, congratulations, this is Manhattan Choral Ensemble. We loved your piece and we would like to give you an award for this piece and would like to premiere your piece and record your piece. And it was talking about The Refuge, my piece. It is the fourth piece of the Songs of Sorrow. That worked because, you know, now I can say that I am an award-winning composer in the U.S. because this was a competition placed in the U.S. And I was over the moon, like I had tears of joy, let's put it this way. And it was a really moving experience for me because it was kind of a sign that things will get better. I didn't know how it would get better from the situation that I was, and I didn't know what to do next, but I just received that email that my piece was chosen to be one of the three winning pieces. And at the day of the concert, which was like 1 month after that, the audience chose the best piece of the night, and they chose my piece, which made me to award another gift, like another prize, because I won the contest among the three pieces that were awarded, and I won the audience contest at the same time. So I was like thrilled and thinking that, you know, I am the Brazilian guy, I am not from here, and I came here to compete with everyone else. I didn't have that much access to music education on my early years and everything, and now I am able to be awarded a prize here in the U.S. And because Refuge, the piece that we are talking about, I get when you say that there is an uplifting kind of feeling to refuge, even if the pieces are kind of depressing or whatever, because the text is really uplifting and it talks to my heart, like it spoke to my heart. And that's why I decided to write it. And since the piece was awarded prizes and everything, I decided to close the Songs of Sorrow settings with that piece, trying to uplift, like try to give some hope to the listeners that, you know, even if you're feeling really bad, you're feeling really down, things might get better. Sometimes you don't know how, but they just will. And I need to believe that at the time. So that's why I decided to put Refuge as the last piece of the setting.
It's a powerful message. I think all of the singers bonded with it, and I certainly did. My favorite lines in Teasdale's poem and in your setting, if I might share, say this: "If I can sing, I still am free, for with my singing, I can make a refuge for my spirit's sake." I think that's just beautiful.
Yes, it's amazing. Yeah. I love it.
Would it be okay with you if we shared just Refuge by itself first with our audience, and then we'll go on to the other three in the set?
Sure, perfect.
The recording that we're going to share today is the one that you and I actually did with the group of singers in a studio, so it's absent of audience noise. We'll hear Refuge, now conducted by a group of singers that you put together, and I was very privileged to conduct. Refuge from Songs of Sorrow by Bill Hygen.
Oh,
We have just heard Refuge, which is the closing movement of four movements in Bill Higgins' Songs of Sorrow. Let's listen to these three pieces all in a row. Ocean of Illusions, Pain is a Virtue, Someone Who Dreams, the first three movements of Bill Higgins' Songs of Sorrow. Conducted by myself, Deborah Simkin King, also your host today, and a group of singers that Bill put together for this recording project. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
We have just heard Ocean of Illusions, Pain is a Virtue, and Someone Who Dreams from Bill Higgins' Songs of Sorrow, recorded in studio under my direction, Deborah Simkin King, your host on today's Sounds Choral. Bill, I'm wondering what you are working on right now.
Right now, I'm working on a setting called Crimes. Like, it would be a five-piece setting talking about situations in which people deal with criminal situations and crimes that they commit or they witness that somewhat are justifiable or not. But, you know, the final judgment, it's always depending on the listener. So everybody will listen to it and have their own opinions. And I love that.
Mm. What a wonderful circling back to where we started our conversation today. When you speak of having difficult conversations, that's something else that I've read about some of our great leaders, not only now, but historically, are the individuals who have the courage to have difficult conversations, the courage chosen over comfort sometimes. And yes. It sounds like those are the kinds of topics that appeal to you.
Totally. Yeah.
Well, I am so grateful to you for being with us today. I would encourage our audience to seek out your music. There's, of course, a lot more that you've written than what we could possibly have shared today. You're on many forms of media. SoundCloud is one of them that has a good sound quality to it. So look up Bill Higen, H-E-I-G-E-N, on SoundCloud. And what are some of your other media, Bill?
Everywhere that you type Bill Higen, like Google Music, Amazon Prime Music, you will be able to listen to some of my works. And also, I have my professional website, www.billhigen.com. It couldn't be easier than that.
Very good. I'm sure people will be reaching out to you.
That would be great.
Thanks so much for being with us today. What a joy.
Thank you so much, Deborah, for having me. Thank you so much for everybody that is listening to this.
Well, choral singing in community, provides inspiration for so many of us. And I hope that today's edition of Sounds Choral inspires you to share this with a friend. Invite a coworker, a neighbor, a family member to listen next time to our show. Or maybe even offer to treat them to the next live performance of choral music you plan to attend. As always, I welcome your thoughts and your feedback, and you can find me through my website at deborahsking.com. I would love to hear from you. Sounds Choral is produced at the studios of WWFM, the Classical Network. I'm your host, Deborah Simkin King, and you can listen to any recent Sounds Choral program by going to wwfm.org and clicking on Classical, then on Webcasts. You can also support programming like this with a donation in membership at our website. Thanks so much for listening. Sounds Choral is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network. Until next time, happy listening.